We're going to get the Wrestling Nostalgia Show underway, and boy, is it one that I've been excited for quite some time. It is part one of my Stone Cold versus The Rock Wrestling Nostalgia series, and that is covering WrestleMania 15, the build-up to it, of course, the match itself. Audio is, of course, going to be included, so I can't wait to share that with you guys as we journey back to March 28th, 1999 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania for the WWF Championship between The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin, their very first WrestleMania. And we're going to get to that in just a minute. But first, a quick word from the sponsor, and then we're going to dive right into the show. So stay right here. You're not going to want to miss it. Hey guys, so retirement may or may not be something that you're really thinking about, but even if you are years and years away, I mean, I'm 20 years away from retirement, but it's something that we should all be thinking about. There's a company that has retirement plans that you can invest in precious metals like gold, silver, and cryptocurrency. There's also a big opportunity to grow retirement and grow income for either your personal or a business. And anyone who signs up at this website receives a free investment kit and gift. So what is this website? It's brightmoneyinvestments.com. That's brightmoneyinvestments.com. You can diversify and grow with metals and cryptos, and you can even talk to someone there to get a better idea of what you should be investing in. So head on over to brightmoneyinvestments.com.
It's time for your weekly fix of wrestling nostalgia when we look at wrestling's past eras from the Attitude Era to the Reality Era.
I'd like to think that maybe this company will be better after Vince McMahon's dead, but the fact is it's going to get taken over by his idiotic daughter and his doofus son-in-law and the rest of his stupid family.
To today. Here on the WWE Podcast.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, guys. It's Wrestling Nostalgia Night. And boy, you talk about going back in time for a rivalry worth discussing. For one of the biggest, one of the best of all time, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, WrestleMania 15, one of a three-part series. The next one will be 17, obviously, and then capping it off with the culmination of Stone Cold Steve Austin's final match at WrestleMania 19 in Seattle, Washington. So we're going to get WrestleMania 15, the main event of WrestleMania 15, and the review and the throwback and the taking you back in my time machine. We can hold hands together as we review and go back to a time when wrestling was much simpler. Wrestling was what? Just that. Wrestling. Where characters were larger than life and storylines made sense and things were easier to follow and we didn't have 3,000 miles an hour in terms of pacing in the match. It was easy to follow. You had an all-star roster, so that certainly helps. But boy, man, do I remember this rivalry, and I remember the very first time that they got together. And this program, the lead up to it, had the biggest Raw moment of all time that took place in my hometown of Albany, New York, at the then Pepsi Arena. And at that time, Stone Cold Steve Austin came in and had the beer bath and brought the beer truck in, and Vince McMahon was swimming in the middle of the ring. And it was, I remember sitting at home saying, "Why the F am I sitting home?" Let's see, so it was 1999. I was 14 years old. So it was hard to watch, even harder to watch years removed, because when you're in the moment and you have that type of roster at your disposal every single Monday night, because back then they didn't have SmackDown, you take it for granted and don't realize how big of a deal it was until it's gone. So as I remove myself, my God, almost, well, 21 years later, and you realize just how big and magnified that this event is, you say, hey, what the hell was I thinking not going? But I digress. We're moving on to WrestleMania 15 in just a minute. Guys, thank you once again for joining me. And this is the WWE Podcast, the unofficial WWE Podcast. No affiliation with WWE. I've had many people ask that. And to be honest, I have to say that for legal reasons. But this is the unofficial WWE Podcast. I guess it's the official unofficial WWE Podcast. Is that a thing? Can I say that? It's the official unofficial WWE Podcast? Because there's no other unofficial podcasts, right? I don't know. Maybe I'm stretching. But this is a, my God, a daily show, I can say now, that we will be releasing content every single day of the week. And I will be hosting three of those shows as we have other hosts joining me and co-hosts that and hosts themselves that do their own shows. So I'll be on three, sometimes four out of the seven shows. I like to give the platform and the driver's seat to other people to give them a chance to voice their own opinions and get some different opinions and perspectives and knowledge on this show other than my own. I don't want this to be a one-man show, and it's certainly not, and I'm certainly grateful for all those who are part of the WWE Podcast team as we continue to make this damn thing grow. And I really believe that we are just getting started in the podcast realm, and I'm appreciative of all the support from everybody, even those that criticize the show, because you help still make the show better, whether you realize it or not. When you bitch about the show, it still helps me. So thank you. Continue the negative comments. I mean, I'm not actually asking for them, but I do take them and use them to improve the show, because I don't take any of it personally. Everybody has their own own podcast they listen to, an own style they like, and own voices and everything else, and I get it. So any type of negative feedback, I just take it and go, hey, well, okay, maybe that is something I can improve, even if your lack of kindness is being used for my advantage. Well, that's just the way it is. So thank you guys, and I do get a lot of positive comments. I do, of course. This is the nature of the beast, where you get these comments that are just, you know, like, come on, bro. Just, ugh. It's the internet. It's the internet. So, anyway, guys, welcome to the show, and this is going to be a daily show, and also, if you want a video podcast, and you want to say, hey, what about video on your show? Yeah, I do that, and that is on the Raw Reviews, and it's exclusive right now to Patreon members, Patreon subscribers on patreon.com/WWE podcast, where you can get the entire Raw Review show. Well, it's all there for you, right? It's there for you to watch me talk about Monday Night Raw. You can see me as I record the show. And so that's where you can get your video podcast, in addition to anything else that's posted there, is really exclusive, meaning I do a lot of small, I'm going to be starting to do a lot of small snippet videos, especially with the Rumble coming up. I'm not going to be able to wait with reactions and things like that. So head on over there if you want to get yourself an ad-free experience as well. So thank you guys and all those who have subscribed lately. It's much appreciated. And just one last quick reminder about the schedule for the remainder of the week. As it is the Rumble week, we are going to be doing a AEW and NXT review coming the next couple of days, with Thursday and Friday. Kind of flip-flops between sometimes. Sometimes I get NXT on Thursday or Friday. Either way, both shows will drop within those 1 or 2 days. So keep an eye on that feed, on my feed for those two shows, as well as on Saturday, Ashley will be joining me for the official Royal Rumble preview show and prediction show. All of our predictions will be laid out on that day as we give our final thoughts on the go-home show to SmackDown, and of course, lay out who we think is going to win the Rumble and all of the other matches on the card. And then, of course, Sunday will be the Royal Rumble event itself, and I'll be tweeting throughout the show with my initial thoughts and reactions, and so follow me if you'd like to at the WWE Podcast. That is where you'll be able to find me and join in and disagree, agree, have fun. Let's do it. I can't wait to be able to interact with you guys live. That's going to be a bunch of fun. And then Monday and or Tuesday, depending on the schedule, hopefully Monday, we will be doing a mega co-host show where all of the co-hosts are going to be joining me, and we'll be reviewing the Royal Rumble match, pay-per-view event, and the match, of course, in what is expected to be a pretty darn long show. Anytime I bring a co-host on, we could go hour and a half, 2 hours by ourselves. So I'm going to try to limit it to, I'm going to try to stick within that hour and a half to 2 hour time limit, just because I respect people's time. I don't want to bog down people, but I also want to get opinions in. I think that this could be one of the best shows that this feed, this show in the history of this program has ever had, and I really believe that, and I think it's going to be a really good show, and it's going to be awesome to have all the personalities on at once to see how we all mingle and disagree or agree or just have a good time. I think it's going to be a blast, so keep an eye out for that mega show coming hopefully Monday evening as it's recorded, and probably will drop late Monday night. It's going to take some time after the audio is done to clean it up and edit it and put the ads in that you guys love so much, and then of course publish it. So I'm thinking late Monday night. When you wake up Tuesday morning, it should be there, and I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a ton. There's going to be a ton to talk about. And you know what? Even if we record Tuesday, we then have Monday Night Raw to discuss with the follow-up. So it's not so bad if we get it on Tuesday. We're just trying to still line up schedules as life happens. So, all right. Well, let's talk about WrestleMania 15. Let's talk about WrestleMania 15. And before I get into Rock Austin, I want to give you guys a quick rundown of the other matches that were on the card, just to jog your memory. And this, of course, is straight from Wikipedia. All right. I'm not any genius that remembers the entire card. Let's be honest. So Jacqueline, with Terry Runnels, defeated Ivory in a singles match. Man, I don't remember that. I just don't. D'Lo Brown and Test won when Draws and the Godfather eliminated each other in a battle royal to determine the number one contenders to the WWF Tag Team Championship. Amazing. It's amazing that they, at this time, didn't have, or actually put a number one contenders match on the card. That's crazy, right? I'm fine with it, but I don't... Anybody remember the last time a WrestleMania has been just a number one contender slot and not the blow-off? I'm not complaining. It's a bit surprising. So anyway, Hardcore Holly defeated Al Snow with Head, of course, and Billy Gunn in a triple threat hardcore match for the WWF Hardcore Championship. Jeff Jarrett and Owen Hart defeated D'Lo Brown and Test in a tag team match for the WWF Tag Team Championship. So we had Jarrett and Owen Hart as tag champions. Butterbean defeated Bart Gunn in the much beloved Brawl for All match. Butterbean defeated Bart Gunn pretty decisively, if I recall correctly. I mean, I remember it going, what is this? And why did he just get his ass kicked so quick? And you listen to Jim Ross. I mean, he didn't know, but in years since then, he has admitted very publicly that that was a piece of idea. And it wasn't great. But anyway, moving on, Mankind defeated Big Show by disqualification. And the winner of that match would become the special guest referee in the main event. So Mankind defeated Big Show by DQ, and so Mankind would be the special referee between Rock and Austin. We're going to get there in just a minute. Road Dogg defeated Goldust, Ken Shamrock and Val Venus in a Four Corners elimination match for the WWF Intercontinental Championship. Kane with China defeated Triple H by DQ in a singles match, and Sable defeated Tori in a singles match for the WWF Women's Championship. Shane McMahon defeated X-Pac in a match for the WWF European Championship. And then The Undertaker, with Paul Bearer, defeated Big Boss Man in a Hell in a Cell match. And that, if I recall, was an extremely disturbing sight where The Undertaker actually hung Big Boss Man from the cell as it was being lifted up. And it was basically... Big Boss Man was executed that night. It was a disturbing image, right? Imagine that today. Imagine them hanging somebody from a cell. It was insanity. Insane. I just remember that very, very vividly. And then, of course, you had Stone Cold Steve Austin versus The Rock in a no disqualification match for the WWF Championship with Mankind as a special guest referee. And that's the reason we're here. And this match went 16 minutes and 53 seconds. And actually, as I'm going up and down the card, the majority of matches, other than one, were under 10 minutes. Under 10 minutes. Which means, on average, I'll even say this is overdoing it, but I'll say on average, every match was 10 minutes, right? That, including Stone Cold's, I'm averaging every match in, and that means there were 12 matches, 10 minutes, that means there's 120 minutes of actual wrestling, and you throw the actual promo videos in there, the interviews backstage, the sponsor plugs, all that kind of stuff, the intros, and just general downtime. And you're still looking at maybe 3 hours. So amazing. WrestleMania has gone from basically a 3 hour, 4 hour event to a 7 hour event. It is just insane. Insane. So just amazing that is how WrestleMania has morphed into this marathon. But okay, so let's talk about Stone Cold Steve Austin versus The Rock. Now, I can remember this very vividly, and Stone Cold Steve Austin had the championship won from Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 14, and went on to have a very successful reign, as we all know, in 1998, and eventually was screwed out of the championship. We had The Rock claim the championship. And Austin had been carrying around a smoking skull belt, which they did away with. And The Rock was crowned champion after he feigned being aligned or going against Vince McMahon and eventually joined the corporation. And that was a hell of a heel turn because the people were getting organically behind The Rock at this time before he turned. They started to really love him because he was so damn entertaining even as a heel. And then I remember he rock bottomed Vince McMahon, but it was all in part of a big plan to be crowned the corporate champion. And if I recall correctly, Stone Cold, again, he was screwed out of it at Breakdown. I remember that was the name of the pay-per-view in 98, where Vince McMahon came up with a master plan to get the championship off of Stone Cold Steve Austin, pitting The Undertaker and Kane in a triple threat against Austin, but with the stipulation that Kane could not pin Undertaker and Undertaker could not pin Kane. So it was essentially a handicap match against Austin, and Austin could not overcome them and get screwed. The championship gets vacated, and eventually The Rock gets the championship, and Austin is obviously furious. Stone Cold would then go on to win the 1999 Royal Rumble by default, after Vince McMahon eliminated him, but then Vince waived all rights and privileges as the number one contender, which at the time, then Commissioner Shawn Michaels notified Vince McMahon that per the WWE, this mythical object that we have yet to see actually exist or published, due to this rule book, the runner-up would then be the inheritance of all of those privileges and rights as the number one contender. So with Austin being the runner-up, Vince unknowingly waives his rights to Stone Cold Steve Austin, and then we get the St. Valentine's Day Massacre, the introduction of Paul White, the Big Show, and then comes WrestleMania. And so Austin is challenging The Rock for the WWF Championship, and Austin does not yet have a smoking skull belt. That wouldn't come back until Backlash at the following pay-per-view, where Shane McMahon was a special referee, and Austin eventually won that match to get his smoking skull championship back. But after this, the whole abduction of Stephanie would take place, where Vince pretends to be sympathetic towards Austin, asks for his help. Austin saves Stephanie. The higher power storyline is implemented. And then they go to the ladder match with Shane and Vince McMahon. After Vince was revealed to be the higher power, Austin becomes the CEO of WWE and eventually loses control to the McMahons. And we continue from there. But as my mind is running from this whole story, that's, wow, that whole thing just came to light. It's a pretty wild time in WWE, but boy, were they printing money at this point. They were printing money with shirts and pay-per-view buys and just merchandise, everything else, TV rights, sponsorships, ratings are through the roof. It was a good time, a profitable time to be a WWF wrestler, performer, whatever. So it was a great time. And I remember this match for so many different reasons, other than just, yeah, it's the first one of this rivalry. And we realized how good these two can be on this stage because they are just, as Austin put it, they're peanut butter and jelly. They just are for some reason. They complement each other's styles. This wasn't my favorite of the three, but it was certainly a noteworthy 4 out of 5 star match in my estimation. This also noted, many people don't really think about this when they think about the Austin and Rock first encounter at 15, the return of Jim Ross, who had been out for months with a bout of Bell's palsy after his mom died. We all know what Jim Ross has gone through and continues to go through with Bell's palsy. He's had several rounds of it, which is not good for facial muscles, as we all know. It causes partial facial paralysis. And so I remember, though, as a 14-year-old, when Jim Ross was announced coming back out, I mean, Michael Cole announced that he would be returning to call the main event of Stone Cold versus The Rock. And I remember seeing him as a 14-year-old kid because they had a shot of him coming down the ramp and or down the aisle, and the crowd received him very warmly. And seeing him, I didn't quite understand at 14 years old. I was thinking, what the hell is wrong with his face? Something's not right. It looks weird. And then, you know, again, I'm 14 years old. I don't know my head from my ass, right? But I remember seeing, not understanding what Bell's palsy was, just kind of thinking like something's not right with JR. But I was so happy to hear him back. And to see him back was, it felt like Dad was coming home. And look, I love my dad, but it felt as if my TV dad was back. He, as many people have said, was the voice of my childhood on TV. And it was great to see him back. I remember how excited I was and how much he added to that match, as he always does and continues to do in AEW. It's great that JR has a full-time gig, as he's always said he wants to get back in the game. He has a lot left to give. So I give him all the credit in the world for, at his age, still wanting to fight and be in the game. But let's take a little bit of listen to the audio from WrestleMania 15 when Jim Ross was introduced by Michael Cole. Let's just take a listen.
Ladies and gentlemen, here to announce the main event, JR Jim Ross. From Philadelphia. And he tipped his hat to Michael Cole. I can't believe it. Well, you can't have a WrestleMania, I guess, without good old JR. JR? I just said, you can't have a WrestleMania without JR, and here you are.
Okay, I'll tell you what. It is, I can't describe how it feels.
Well, there couldn't be a better or bigger match for you to call.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following...
So that was Jim Ross coming back, and visibly, I mean, look, it's very obvious that something was wrong. And again, in my 14-year-old ignorant self, I'm thinking, like, what the hell? What's happening, right? But it was awesome to hear him back, and I loved it, and he's still my favorite announcer of all time, even to this day, still my favorite announcer of all time. Just has a gift given to him that can't be duplicated, and so he added so much to this match. So you had JR there, Mankind's a special guest referee, but he didn't come out until later. And so we're going to get into all the audio as we go step by step here in just a minute. But first, a quick word from the sponsor, and then we're going to jump into the audio, and we're going to live this thing step by step together. So stay right here. Hey guys, so retirement may or may not be something that you're really thinking about, but even if you are years and years away, I mean, I'm 20 years away from retirement, but it's something that we should all be thinking about. There's a company that has retirement plans that you can invest in precious metals like gold, silver, and cryptocurrency. There's also a big opportunity to grow retirement and grow income for either your personal or a business. And anyone who signs up at this website receives a free investment kit and gift. So what is this website? It's brightmoneyinvestments.com. That's brightmoneyinvestments.com. You can diversify and grow with metals and cryptos, and you can even talk to someone there to get a better idea of what you should be investing in. So head on over to brightmoneyinvestments.com. All right, guys, let's jump into this. Let's listen to The Rock's entrance. We'll introduce Stone Cold, and then we're going to get right into the match.
Do you smell what The Rock is cooking? The Rock says, introducing first, from Miami, Florida, weighing 275 pounds, the World Wrestling Federation champion.
So that's The Rock, and as he comes out, of course, that slow methodical walk, and the cadence in which he has the confidence. 27-year-old. That's funny to hear from just that time frame. It was just a time that it seems like a millennium ago, right? And having the championship. I mean, when you even see the set of WrestleMania, it's pitiful, right? Compared to today, I mean, it was just this logo they had made. It looked like just a normal pay-per-view, except it said WrestleMania. It was, you know, this is pre-stadium, so it's just funny. I mean, this show is under 3 hours. The show was under 3 hours. The show ran 2 hours and 46 minutes. What? Monday Night Raw is longer than WrestleMania 15. Think about that. Think about that. Monday Night Raw, on a weekly basis, is longer than WrestleMania 15 was. My God. And you wonder why we are not left wanting more, more often than not. So, just quite a stark contrast as to, you know, today's product. But, all right, let's listen to, well, his opponent.
And the rattlesnake is ready. The crowd is
And Austin didn't even get through his entrance before The Rock interrupted him. And that would probably pissed off, you know, half the audience, because they only got to two turnbuckles before The Rock stopped him mid-walk. But I remember specifically there was an interview done with Stone Cold about his entrance at 15 here. And I remember him noting how pissed off he was because he forgot his vest that night. So he wore a just a regular Stone Cold shirt. And I just noted that how, you know, he noted how pissed off he was. I don't know if he misplaced it, lost it on a flight. I forget the whole story, but he didn't have the vest, which is why he wore a shirt to the ring that night. So that's an interesting note. I mean, in real time, I remember saying, well, that's interesting. Maybe he just wants to promote his shirt. I mean, I didn't even really think about it that much. And I didn't even watch wrestling with that keen of an eye, right? Especially doing a podcast. You know, when you're not doing a podcast, you can just kind of enjoy wrestling and not have to think about analyzing it too much. So I didn't really notice it, I guess, in real time. But yeah, that is interesting. So as we get this thing underway, again, this match is only 16 minutes long. It's just insane how short this is, but it's still brilliant. You had these two battling for the first time on a huge stage. And, well, let's just listen to some of the audio, and we can take it from there. So there's a little bit of action as the referee here, Mike Chioda, watches as Rock and Austin battle up the ramp and slam each other into barricades and the WrestleMania sign and lighting fixtures. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. And the intensity, not just in the competitors, but also in Jim Ross's voice. Can you hear it? Can you feel it? As he would say, yeah. Jim Ross can make anything sound exciting. He just has that, again, that natural innate ability, and I loved it. And seeing these two fight and hearing Jim Ross call the action is something that you just never get tired of, and it was just awesome. So they continue to fight up the ramp here. Mike Chioda is strangely calling, you know, four counts and things like that and holds, but it's an ODQ match, so I don't know why that kind of stuff was even enforced by the referee. And as I'm watching, The Rock got slammed into the WrestleMania sign, and they eventually make their way back into the ring as the match starts to wind down. We had several referees throughout this match, right? I know Mick Foley was scheduled to be the special guest referee, but he was not at the beginning. We went from Mike Chioda to Tim White. And, let's just listen to how some of this plays out.
Oh, look out. Some more drop. Get up.
count to three, can't you?
Austin just inches away from losing.
Yeah, lay the smack down on the ref. The Rock's getting frustrated.
Rondo! Come on!
Wait!
Back up, God! What the hell?
No disqualification! No disqualification!
The Rock just rock bottom the referee!
So this is our third referee. After Mike Chioda was taken out, Tim White got rock-bottomed by The Rock, and now you have the beloved, and I truly mean that, Earl Hebner, who's got the best count in the business. Just his cadence with his arm, his pacing. I know I say that with promos, but with his arm, he could speak with his arm. It was insane. I loved Earl Hebner. He's how you should count. Today's referees count way too fast. There's no suspense. It's all just one, two, three. I mean, even when The Undertaker lost his streak, think of how quick that count was. It didn't feel right. It was not 3 seconds. It was about two with three taps and, you know, three taps for 2 seconds. Too quick. Build some suspense. Those microseconds feel like an eternity. Those matter when you're doing counts. I'm not saying every count has to be super long or unfairly long, but come on. I love Earl Hebner. He's got it down. Earl Hebner has it down. So this match continues as Vince McMahon then makes his presence felt and ends up, well, take a listen. So there you go. I mean, we're closing in on the end of this match here, but Mankind finally gets himself out there as the fourth referee in the match. Vince gets knocked down by Mankind, and we finally end up getting, well, we're heading towards the conclusion, so let's take a listen as we get a little closer.
The rattlesnake climbed the mountains. We need to help Mr. McMahon. The rattlesnake overcame all the odds.
So as Stone Cold celebrates here, Vince goes into a deep depression, which sets into place the master plan with Kane and Undertaker at Breakdown, which sets in the higher power, not Breakdown. It sets the higher power plan into place. Ultimately, Austin becomes CEO, as I mentioned. But this was a WrestleMania that was really memorable for just how. Not just how awesome he was as a character, how Stone Cold was as a character, how he solidified himself at 14. At 15, he was really coming into his own. He was really starting to cement a legacy, not just as a champion, but as an icon. And being able to take this business to the next level is really what this WrestleMania stamped, but there's a little more fun to go here at WrestleMania 15, so let's just take a listen. Love this stuff. So Austin toasts with Earl Hebner. Vince McMahon is in a deep state of depression. JR outlines that really nicely. And, you know, we've got the Vince McMahon-Austin rivalry that morphed again a little darker as Vince McMahon sacrificed his own daughter to get at Austin. And really tried to bait Austin into, hey, you know, we're not so bad. But Austin ends up, well, giving a little bit of a gift to Vince McMahon here. So take a listen. So just a brilliant story to be told there. Obviously, this rivalry continued, and it continued in a big way. And heading into Backlash, Austin gets his Smoking Skull belt back. And then it ended up culminating again at 17 and then again at 19. And we'll, of course, cover 17 and 19 in the weeks to come at part 2 and 3 of this Wrestling Nostalgia series of Austin versus The Rock. And it's just it's so great to look back and see what worked and see what still could work. And what still could work are extremely deep characters that don't take this as kind of a wink and a nod job, meaning they protect kayfabe, and you may say, oh, it's dead. Well, you know what? You can resurrect it. You can bring it back. if you just say the F off social media, which has been an absolute killer, and you invest in your character, you understand who you are, bring that to management. Let them know who you could be, who you want to be, which is usually an extension of yourself dialed up to 20. And that's fine. Austin out there with The Rock, it's just, you know, I don't care who you are. I don't care what wrestling fan you are, whatever promotion you love. You cannot deny Austin Rock may have been the biggest rivalry of all time. And you say, oh, Austin McMahon was bigger. Well, it was bigger in a different way. When you talk about in terms of actual one-on-one opponents that he could have an actual wrestling match with, The Rock is number one. He just is. And Vince McMahon, Austin and him had a hell of a rivalry. And the problem, though, is Vince McMahon can't perform. He's just not that good. He was older. He's not a trained professional. And the fact of the matter is, you can't have a five-star match with Vince McMahon. You have to have a dance partner. And The Rock was the perfect dance partner to Stone Cold Steve Austin. I think his best of all time. They had an amazing run of my God, 15 to WrestleMania 19. So it's a good 4 years. Of course, moments and matches in between. But those big three landmarks are where they had that trilogy. It's the trilogy that is... and what made professional wrestling what it is today. And it laid the foundation. It was that big. And you may say, I don't know about that. You may say that now. I mean, like, think about that, though. Think about the money they drew. Think about the audience, the crossover audience from other genres of entertainment that were brought in because of what they've heard about The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin, particularly at WrestleMania 19 when The Rock was still in Hollywood, coming back to fight Austin. There's just so many elements to this that we don't really appreciate in 2020 because it's 20 years ago, right? It's 20 freaking 21 years ago in this case. And it just, you know, we often have memories that don't serve us well when it comes to this kind of thing. And I think that we need to take a step back and realize just how good these matches were, number one. What they meant to the business, number two. What they did for both men's careers. Would Austin have been as successful without The Rock? And would The Rock have been as successful without Stone Cold Steve Austin? The answer is no. The answer is no. I believe that. They were important to each other's careers. They brought out the best in each other. Their promos were epic. As I'll talk about in my next part two in kind of a preview, I will never think of the Limp Bizkit song My Way the same way ever again. And if you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about if you've seen this promo of My Way by Limp Bizkit. It was perfectly placed for the time, perfectly placed for the position of the rivalry in terms of the personal, the personal part of it, not just business. The turn by Austin, right? Don't forget about that. The turn, Austin turned heel at 17. I know I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but just as a preview for next time. So much to get into next time. I'm really excited. I want to jump into it now, but I'm going to hold myself back and make you guys wait too, because I got to analyze and get clips together and all that kind of stuff. But I hope you guys enjoyed this. It's been a blast going back into the past and reliving this match and reliving what it meant, and 21 years removed, what it still means, and what WrestleMania has evolved into from WrestleMania 15 to now WrestleMania 36. Think about that. Think about that. 21 years later, we're still talking about a match like this and the impact it had on the business. And so, I really enjoyed this. I hope you did too. Again, I'll be back on Saturday with Ashley as we discuss our official Royal Rumble predictions. We're going to have AEW NXT reviews in the next couple of days. So really three shows in the next 3 days. Rumble on Sunday. Tweet at me at the WWE podcast throughout the show. I will be there at your fingertips, literally. And then a huge, huge Monday review show with all co-hosts on board, all hands on deck as we do a mega Royal Rumble review show. And then back into the schedule for next week as we ramp up into WrestleMania season in a big way. So Guys, again, don't forget to head on up over at patreon.com/WWE podcast. If you want a video podcast of the audio that I recorded on Monday Tuesday for the Monday Night Raw review show, you can also head on over to the website at WWEpodcast.com. But Patreon is where you'll get ad free for the entire library. You get all the video podcasts, you get blogs, you get a shout out on the show, lots of value for really $1 a month. And of course there's higher levels that get you higher access to things like coming on the show, making your own podcast and things like that. But also rate and review me any chance that you can. It really helps out the show. Even if it's just a bitch about how much you don't like the show, whatever, your call, right? And there's always other podcasts to go listen to, but if you want to bitch at the show, cool. I'll just take it and use it to be improve the show. And that's seriously totally fine. I'm not being an a-hole about it. Like, whatever. I mean, don't care. say what you want to say. Everyone's got an opinion. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for joining me. I hope you've enjoyed this. If you have suggestions for future wrestling nostalgia shows, shoot me an email at realwwepodcast@gmail.com with your suggestions about what you'd like to hear for your wrestling nostalgia as we move forward. All right, guys. Well, that's it. Get ready for a big week. We are just getting underway. We are just getting underway for this week. So much more to cover. So many more shows to go. And the Rumble on Sunday. And with all that said, guys, take care. I'll talk to you next time. Hey, guys. So retirement may or may not be something that you're really thinking about. But even if you are years and years away, I mean, I'm 20 years away from retirement, but it's something that we should all be thinking about. There's a company that has retirement plans that you can invest in precious metals like gold, silver, and cryptocurrency. There's also a big opportunity to grow retirement and grow income for either your personal or a business. And anyone who signs up at this website receives a free investment kit and gift. So what is this website? It's brightmoneyinvestments.com. That's brightmoneyinvestments.com. You can diversify and grow with metals and cryptos, and you can even talk to someone there to get a better idea of what you should be investing in. So head on over to brightmoneyinvestments.com.